Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would anoint this message, Lord. God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would fill this place, God, that you would use this time to speak to us, to speak to your people in a way that would change our lives, God, that we would come in as one person, Lord, but we would leave as a totally new person, God. And I pray all these things in the holy and precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. There could be no better song to open up the message today. Today I want to talk to you about being in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk to you about what that means to really be in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, what the church needs, what God's children need, and more than anything today, is to be in God's presence. That's what we need. You see, because if we meet today, if we sing today, if we pray today, if we even come to church and we meet in this building today, but we haven't met in the presence of the Lord, we've got nothing. We've met for no reason. We just had a social gathering. But if we have the anointing power of the Holy Spirit, if we have the blessings of God, if we're sitting in His presence, then it's a totally different story. You see, what differentiates a Christian from anybody else in the world? It's God's presence. Think about it for a minute. The presence of the Lord, it's what helps us live right. It's what helps us abstain from sin. The presence of the Lord gives us power to love others as Christ loves us. The presence of the Lord teaches us to forgive, to have grace and mercy on one another. The presence of the Lord takes away us being selfish and prideful, and it turns us back to be humble and good servants. The presence of the Lord in your life, it could take away the anger from your heart. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know what's in my heart. I know what God can do, and I know He can take that anger away from your heart. And He can replace that anger with grace, mercy, and a peace that you may not have yet experienced. The presence of the Lord could take a mouth filled with cursing and foul language in misery, and bring it to a place where it brings blessing to someone, to where it helps someone, to where it gives someone hope when they've had no hope. So as I was thinking about what to preach this week, as I was praying about, God, what do we need to hear? What do you need the people to hear? What do I need to hear? The Lord shared and revealed to me the biggest need in the universal church, not only in the United States of America, but all over the world, is this. They have to remember to get back in God's presence. And so that's what I'm going to talk about today. Getting back in God's presence. Think about what your life would be like if just for one part of one day of one month, one part of one day of one month, say 4 hours, just pick some day on your calendar, 4 hours, and say, you know what? This 4 hours, I'm not going to have the TV on. I'm not going to have the radio on. I'm turning my cell phone off. I'm just going to take a Bible, a notepad, and a pen. I'm going to go to a park. I'm going to sit somewhere. And I'm just going to say, God, I want to talk to you. Lord, I want to be in your presence. Lord, take all that noise. Take all those burdens, all that stuff I got to do at home away. I don't care about mowing the grass right now. I don't care about fixing the toilet. Lord, I don't want to worry about the burdens of my heart for other people. I just want to meet with you, God. I just want to talk to you. Think about if you would do that. Just for one part of one day of one month, you would sit, put that on your calendar, and every month you would do that. You wouldn't talk to your wife or your husband, your kids. That's just you and God. I guarantee if you did that, it would change your life completely. You know, this week I read that 50 million people, approximately, in America are supposed to be Bible-believing Christians. 50 million people. So I thought about that. And I prayed about that. And I wondered, if there's supposed to be 50 million people that are Christians, why is the world in the shape it's in today? Why is America the country it is today? If there's 50 million people that are saying, I love Jesus, I love people, I'm going to serve people, I'm going to forgive people, I'm going to take all those problems in my life, I'm going to give them to you, Lord, then why do we have the problems we have in America today? I said, God, I want to know, if we have 50 million people in America today, why Christianity is not making an impact in the world we live in. Why does it seem like sometimes it's almost even superficial because we aren't doing what we need to do, God? Or is it something else? Lord, tell me. I'm frustrated. I want to know. And I clearly heard God tell me this. The reason those 50 million people aren't making an impact in the world today is because they're filled with self-indulgences. They're filled with selfishness. You see, they want to serve God only because of what God can give them. They want to come to a church only because of what the church can give them. They want to go to God only when they have problems. It's like God is some theological lamp that you just rub it and the magic genie grants your wish. And that's what they want from God. People don't want to go to God to serve God anymore. And we're using the name of Christianity in a wrong way. We're saying, I'm a Christian so we can get something free from a church. We're saying, I'm a Christian so I can get something free from society. And what you're doing is you're taking that beautiful name of Christ, all the things that he had done for you, and you're running it through the mud. He said, Alan, you want those 50 million people to make a difference? Tell them to start living for me and stop living for themselves. Man, it's powerful. You see, the United States has fallen away from the Lord. It's not the government's fault. It has nothing to do with politics or laws or atheists or any other group. It's because instead of spending more time serving other people, we're spending more time serving ourselves, elevating ourselves, and we're being our own gods. We say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior, but not really. I really just want you to be my Savior. That whole Lord part, I got it. But you see, it's a package deal. Back in the day, when you get a Happy Meal at McDonald's, what do you get? Lord knows what you get nowadays, but it used to be a hamburger, some French fries, a toy, and a drink, right? Yep. You couldn't say, hey, I want a Happy Meal, but I just want the hamburger. They'd say, that's not a Happy Meal. They'd say, well, I want a Happy Meal, but I just want the toy. Then go to Toys R Us. It's a package deal. If you want a Lord and a Savior, you got them both. You can't just have a Savior. You got to have the Lord and the Savior. And so, folks, we got to get away from serving ourselves and start serving the one God who created us. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I don't know, but as I was thinking about this message, I was pretty humbled. I thought, well, how much time? I mean, I'm a pastor. I love people. I have witnessed to people all over. I talk to people, and I thought, how much time do I really spend serving myself instead of serving the Lord? But I was got to be honest with you, I was a little humbled. Because when you ask God the hard questions, God gives you the hard answers. Amen. He'll answer those questions for you. I want to get to the place. I want you to get to the place where Moses was. In Exodus chapter 33. I might preach about this next week. I love the scripture. Exodus 33:15. Moses. All the people had just finished doing coming down from Mount Sinai. And he has had the Ten Commandments. They were worshiping the gold calf. All this stuff. And they're getting ready to go into the promised land. But God said, I'm not going with you. I'm not going with you. You guys are terrible people. I'm not going with you. And Moses says, what? Basically, in the scripture, he says, if your presence does not go with us, then don't bring us up from here. I don't want to go anywhere, God, if you're not there. How much different would our life be today if we said the same thing? Lord, I don't want to go there if you're not there. I don't want to be there if you're not there. Moses didn't want to go anywhere without God's presence. It is time today that the people in Emporia, the people in our church, Christians all over the world, start really thinking about that again. Start seeking the Lord. So today I'm going to preach a little from chapter of Psalms, Psalms chapter 139. I'm going to read just five verses, verses 7 through 12. I'm going to share with you about that. Well, Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12 says it like this. The title of today's sermon is Being in the Presence of the Lord. It says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. I rise on the wings of the dawn. I settle on the far side of the sea. Even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you.
So basically what he's saying here, the psalmist is saying, no matter where I go, the Lord is. Now I'm going to say some things that are going to make you think today. Well, they're what Lord gives me to make you think today. But I want you to think, so get your thinking caps on. So far this morning I've been sharing about you the importance of getting back to the presence of God. How important it is, how we need to get back in the presence of God. How if we want to see things change, we want to see our families better, we want to see the world better, we've got to start living for God instead of living for ourselves. We got to look at that person and we got to say, I love you, I care about you. And you might say, well, I don't know about that person. Folks, let me tell you a short bit of a small story that happened last night to us. We finished up the kettle corn, get a bite to eat. And our waitress, sweet lady, she looked like she had a terrible day. Mascara running down her face. It looked like she'd just been baked in the sun. She was just wore out. Been working since 2 o'clock. And I said, ma'am, how was your day? And she laughed. She's like, it's been a rough day. And then she takes one of the chairs. She sits down next to us. She's like, then this lady starts complaining. A lady comes over. Hey, you need to take this table's order. She's like, here's my notepad. You take their order or whatever. Well, I don't have this. Write it on your arm. And they're yelling across the restaurant. I just had a rough day. And then somebody else says something. And she goes, Jesus Christ. And I said, and she looks at me. She goes, oh, you guys are a church group. I'm so sorry. I said, that's okay. He's my Lord and Savior too. I patted her on the back. And she started laughing and she talked with us for a few more minutes. And I said, can we pray for you? She said, please do every day. I need it. And then she got up and kind of continued her work. They even had people in the gas station bussing tables. It was crazy last night up there. And there wasn't a lot of people. It was just a crazy environment. But what I'm saying is that so many times we just care about ourselves. There was many people that were eating there that are like, why don't I have my drink yet? Where's my food? How come things are taking so long? And we weren't like that at all. We were just like, man, this lady looks like she has had a rough day. I mean, we had a rough day. We were out there from 9:30, 10 until after midnight. We had a rough day too. But this lady, she looked like she really had a rough day. And so by just taking a few minutes just to talk to her, it made her whole day. I mean, everything just perked up. Everything was going great. It was crazy. The story is a lot more involved than that, but that's all I can share with you right now. The point is when we stop serving ourselves and when we start serving others, when we start living through God's eyes, that's when we're talking about being in the presence of the Lord. You know, there's a difference in your life when you can just feel God working through you. And it's an amazing difference. And so that's what I want to spend time talking about. You see, we say, well, if God is omnipresent, if God is everywhere all the time, he can do all these things, he's omniscient, all this great stuff, then why aren't we in his presence? What's the difference? If he's everywhere but we're not in his presence, what's the difference? That's the challenge I want to give you today. That's what I want you to think about today. You see, God did not create man to be alone, right? No, he gave us helpmate, he gave us Eve, so Adam had Eve. And God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. The Bible says that clearly in Genesis 3:8. Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. Abraham walked with God. God was present in their lives. God wants to be present in our life too. And in Psalm 139, it says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? The answer is you can't. You can't hide from God. He's the creator. He created everything there is. You can't hide from him. It doesn't matter if you're in your closet. Doesn't matter if the lights are off. Just like the scripture says, God invented all that. He's everywhere. You can't hide from him. Wherever you go this week, God is going to be there. That too could be a humbling thought, depending on how you live your life. So you might think, well, Pastor, if God is everywhere all the time, then why aren't we always in his presence? Doesn't make sense. You're talking crazy. If God is everywhere all the time, then why aren't we always in his presence? Well, that's a great question. As Christian, the Lord even dwells in us, it says. It's getting more complicated here. We carry his presence with us. It says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells within you?
You see, that truth should be the greatest comfort ever in our lives. That God's Spirit dwells within you. That you have access to the Creator of the whole world anytime you want. That's really phenomenal if you think about that.
But you say, well, Pastor, I don't always have that sense. Pastor, there's sometimes in my life where I feel sad, where I feel hurt, where I feel completely alone. I feel like I'm lost and abandoned. I don't feel like God is anywhere near me. So what's the answer? How can God be all around us? How can the Holy Spirit be living in us and we still not feel like we're in God's presence? I think the key is in a couple of these scriptures. Jeremiah 29, 12 through 14 says this. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore you. Listen to this in James 4, 8. It says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You see, God can be all around us, but we might not feel his presence because either we're not seeking him or there's sin in our life that's stopping him. Think about it like this. There's radio waves, television broadcasting waves, cell phone waves going everywhere all the time. Do you see them?
I don't see them.
Thank goodness. You'd be like a spy going through like one of those movies with laser tripwires. Like, oh, don't step on channel 32. Watch out for this channel here. That's the Christian channel. You don't want to step on that, bro. Oh, you can step on this one, though. That's a bad conversation right there. But you can't see any of those waves. You can't see radio waves. You can't see television waves or cell phone waves. So what do you need? How do you tap into that? You have some kind of gadget, right? You got a television converter box. You have a cell phone. You have a radio in your car. You have some way that you tap into that information that's around you. It's the same way with God. Same way with God. Just because he's everywhere and he's omniscient and he's all in your presence, the only way you can tap into him is by looking for him, by seeking him. Just like those radio waves are everywhere, you can't access it if you don't have a radio. You can't have access to God even though he's all around you unless you look at him and you seek him. It really is that simple. So you say, well, how do I do that? Because I got a lot of cares on my heart. I got a lot of worries on my heart. I got a lot of burdens on my heart. Well, the best way I've found to experience God's presence is when you get all that stuff out of your life. You say, well, Pastor, there's a lot of problems I'm dealing with right now. I know. I'm dealing with problems. We're all dealing with problems. Nobody has a perfect problemless life. But what I'm saying is if you want to get in the full presence of the Lord, then you need to get rid of that stuff. You need to cast it away so that you can be in God's presence. If you feel the need to pick it back up, go ahead. But that's not scriptural. Scripture tells us, cast all your cares on the Lord. He'll take them. Give him your burdens. He'll take those. It says, don't be anxious about anything, but pray about all things. And so what am I telling you? If you want to be in God's presence today, you want to be in God's presence when you walk into the church, when you open those doors, make the decision that I'm not going to worry about how I'm paying my electric bill today. I'm not going to worry about the problem, the fight that I got into with my wife or my husband. I'm not going to worry about the problem that the kids have in school. I'm not going to worry about any of that stuff. Lord, I've come here to meet with you. So God, take that stuff from my heart, please. Just take it. I want to seek you. I came here to worship you. I didn't come here to think about my problems. I could do that at home. I want to worship you. I want to be in your presence, Lord. And you know, when you're in God's presence, there's no better place in the whole world to be. There really isn't. You feel like you can do anything. Those songs, Overcomer, Fear is a Liar, all those popular songs you hear on the radio right now. You feel like that. You feel like there's nothing can stop you. You hear that scripture from Philippians 4:13 says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You believe it? You're like Superman. Why? Because you're in God's presence. You feel like nothing can stop you. You say, well, Pastor, that's great for church and all. Good. What about the rest of my life, though? I'm not going to live in the church. I'm not a church mouse. How do I handle it for the rest of my life?
How do I feel like I'm in God's presence all the time, not just on Sunday?
Well, I think Psalm 22, verse 3 has the answer to that. It says, God is enthroned upon the praises of His people. When we worship, we enter into His presence.
You want to be into the presence of the Lord? Worship Him.
I wake up singing a song every day. I do. You can ask my wife, my kids, my family. You can ask my mother-in-law. She's lived with me. I've lived with them. You can ask anybody who's ever stayed at my house or anybody whose house I've ever stayed at. I wake up singing a song. Now, I don't sing well, and I don't know a lot of the words sometimes. I don't even know all the words to Mary Had a Little Lamb, but I make them up. They sound good. Sound good enough to me. I know the melody. I mean, I was singing Mary Had a Little Lamb, and Shanna's like, you don't even know all the words of that song. I was like, yeah, I was. I sang it, and I said, Mary had a little lamb whose fleas were as white as snow. She's like, it's not fleas, it's fleece. Whatever, it doesn't matter. I get the point of the song. I love to sing. But when we enter into worship with God, you know what it does? It takes our mind off our problems. And it puts our thoughts on God. That's the secret. You want to spend time with somebody, you got to think about them. If I want to spend time with my wife and I'm just not thinking about her, I'm thinking about all the things I want to do, do you think that's working out well? No. You get that slap in the back of the head, that little, Alan, you paying attention? Absolutely not, honey. Not paying attention to you. You ever say that to your wife? Don't do it. It's a bad idea. I tried it. But when you worship the Lord, you're taking all your thoughts and your cares about your problems, and you're thinking about God. Take one of these hymns, man. If you need a hymnal, I got an old hymnal I'll give you. Take it home. You're having a rough day. You can look in the back. It says, you know, if you're having a rough day, it says if you have despair, discouragement, it'll give you some hymns to sing. You don't know how they go. Neither do I. Just make it up. It's great. But worship God.
You want God's presence in your life, worship Him. Take your thoughts away from your problem and put your thoughts on God. God will work your problems out. I don't know how it works. It doesn't make any sense, but He does. I just know He does. It's the truth. It's like that hymn says He lives. I love to sing that hymn. If you sing that hymn, Brother Ron will start crying right now. So I'm going to save the tears for Brother Ron. But it goes like this. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. Here's one of my favorite parts. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives? Because He lives within my heart. And that's the truth. There's no reason you can't always be in the presence of God. You can go about your chores at home, with your wife and your kids and your daily troubles, and you could absolutely be in His presence. I was washing the dishes the other day, and I put in this tape, old hymns. Both my kids tried to wrestle me to the ground. I mean, we're talking stuff that Brother Ron, again, sorry to pick on you, brother, but this is stuff you would like. This is almost like Dobro stuff. I mean, but I'm singing this stuff, washing dishes. Faith is like, please, Dad, they have a lot better version of that music. She's like, why don't you have Alexa sing that or something? I'm like, I like this old cassette tape. I put it in there. I'm having a good time. You can always be in God's presence. And so you say, well, all right, Pastor, that's good. I want to be in God's presence. Thanks for that. If I'm miserable and my life is tough, now I know I just need to be in God's presence. Well, it's true. You do. So you say, well, how do I sense His presence in my life? Because sometimes I get this special feeling like God's with me all the time. And other times I just don't get that feeling. So how do I get that feeling? It's all about what your thought life is. If your thoughts are all about you and your problems and your family's problems and whatever else, you're never going to be happy. If you dwell on all the misery in your life, you're going to be a miserable person. Based on what you think, that's what you are. Attitude's a huge thing. You know, I've found that if I have a vacation coming forward, it doesn't matter what happens in the next couple of days. I don't care. Because I'm going on vacation. Wouldn't it be interesting if we thought about the rest of life like that?
What's the worst that can happen to you as a Christian? Cindy, what's the worst thing that can happen to you?
Go to hell.
Yeah, that would be a bad idea. But if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be there, right? But that would be terrible, yeah. But if somebody came up and they took Bill and they stabbed him right in the chest right now, where would you go, Bill?
I'd go to heaven.
Is that a terrible thing?
No.
No. It's the best vacation ever. You get a new body.
I'd have to say thank you.
Yeah. I mean, think of how thankful your wife would be. Think how thankful Lorene would be. No, if she went to heaven and got a new body. Did you see her leg? Don't let that woman borrow your riding lawnmower. It won't come back in one piece, and neither will your yard. Well, what I'm trying to say is that the worst thing that can happen to us as a Christian is we can go to heaven. Shouldn't we be happy? Someday we're going to go to heaven. So we shouldn't walk around all sad and miserable. Stop thinking about your own problems. Think about the Lord. He'll take care of those things. Again, I don't know how it works, but I know it works. I've seen it in my life, seen it in others' lives. It's amazing. You know, there was a person who was also having troubles. They were worried about all the sorrow and all the calamity and all the drama and enemies coming after him and stuff. And that guy's name was David. And you see in Deuteronomy 31:6, they said, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." I mean Joshua, sorry. So what you see is Joshua, God tells Joshua, no matter what difficulties you have, no matter what struggles you have, don't worry about it, I'm going with you. And so Joshua, he stopped worrying about the difficulties. He stopped worrying about the struggles. He said, "All right, you're going to be with me, let's go do it." And they went and did it. How much more do we have need to have that attitude? If you're not worried about those things, if your focus is not on your problems but on the Lord, you'll be in His presence. And that's where we need to be today. That's where we have to be today if we're going to be in a good place. And so I guess what I'm trying to tell you is if you want to be in God's presence and you want to experience everything that God is, you've got to have some time alone with Him. You've got to shut the TV off. You've got to shut the radio off. You've got to sit somewhere quietly and just talk to Him. Tell Him your problems. Tell Him what you're worried about. Tell Him you love Him. Bring a notepad. Maybe you'll hear something. I'm telling you, people say, "You really hear from the Lord?" Yeah, how do you think these sermons come about? I pray and pray and pray and sit at the Lord's feet. And He gives me the word and I write stuff down. And sometimes it comes out the way Alan likes it and other times not. But every time it's the way God wants it. Amen?
Amen.
That's the most important. You don't care what I have to say. You care what God has to say. And so we got to be in God's presence as Christians. That's where we're going to change the world, you see. It's not enough just to read your Bible every day or go through the ritual of coming to church or even praying. Because praying is a tough thing. It's super important. But when you pray, your mind gets distracted. That's the enemy's biggest strength. You're down there praying, it's silent, it's quiet. You're like, "Lord, I'm dealing with this problem right now. Please help me." And all of a sudden you hear your wife's voice like, "Did you get the leaves out of the gutter?" You know, and she's not really saying that. That's just something coming into your mind. You're like, "God, get these distractions out of there. Lord, please, I really need to do that. Don't forget to pay the water bill." Like, why are all these things coming into my mind? Because you're trying to be with the Lord. And Satan knows that's the most powerful place you can be. I'm going to share one more quick thought before I close. This is from my guys yesterday. Psalm 46:10 says it like this: "Be still and know that I am the Lord." How long has it been since you were still and you acknowledged the Lord for who He is? How long has it been? Church, if you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He's always with you. You need to think about that. He's always with you. You'll never be lonely. You'll never be by yourself. You can always go to Him. And the other thing is, God loves you. He's never going to walk out on you. You might have had somebody in your life walk out on you. He's not going to do that. You know, He took the first step in the relationship you had. He walked to you. He's the one who opened your heart to walk into your life. So why would He ever leave? The Bible's full of references of people that walked with the Lord, that were in God's presence. Adam and Eve walked with Him in the garden in the cool of the day. Moses spent time in God's presence when he went up on Mount Sinai, when he was down from the hills in the tent of the meeting. And there was so much glory shown on his face that people couldn't even look at him. Saul of Tarsus, you may know him as Paul. He encountered who Jesus was on the road to Damascus. Changed his life forever. You say, well, those are all Bible people. Who has walked in the feet of the Lord today? Ron. When he was singing those songs, God was touching him. And tears would come out of his eyes. He was walking with the Lord today. You say, well, that's good for Ron. What about anybody else? Connie had a great encouragement with the Lord. She was at the women's encounter. And God had touched her in a way she had never been touched before. And she gave her life to the Lord. Amazingly, Ronnie was at the men's meeting with us too, and he did the same thing. That's how God works, folks. Thomas had an experience with the Lord. He came down here right to these altars and gave his life to the Lord and was baptized in our church. If you want an experience with God, you're the only one stopping that from happening. He's everywhere. You just got to tap into those radio waves. You just got to talk to him. The greatest promise in all the Bible, I think, is that we can be in God's presence.
Right, here's the game
you need. Amen, brother. That we can be in God's presence. What is at the heart of being a Christ follower? It's given to us in that passage. It's utterly and completely abandoning ourselves to God's overwhelming and satisfying presence. How long has it been since you've really been in God's presence? Just think about that. You. Not just in this church, but you alone. How long has it been? I was sharing with Cindy and I were talking last night. She spent a lot of time in God's presence behind the wheel of her truck, being able to just be alone with the Lord. See, God wants to spend time with you anywhere you have. If you have 5 minutes driving to work, shut the radio off, spend time with him. He wants to be there with you. My challenge to you today is this. Add one thing to your life for the next week of trying to be in God's presence. I don't care what it is. Figure it out. If that means waking up 5 minutes early, you're probably not going to do it. Don't lie to yourself. I'm serious. But many of us have to drive to work. And whether you're driving 5 minutes or 30 minutes, you can shut the radio off for a few minutes and you can try to talk to God. Many of us have a ride home. Could do that on the way home. Many of us get a lunch break or a little break. Maybe instead of going out for that 15 minutes and getting that candy bar or whatever you're doing, maybe you just go sit in the bathroom on the toilet and pray to God. I'm serious. This week, do you add one thing to your life where you're really going to seek God? You're not just going to hope he shows up and something awesome happens. You're going to seek him. Add one thing every day for this week. I guarantee it'll change your walk with the Lord and it'll change your life. So I hope you'll take that challenge. I hope you'll take that challenge. Remember this, you're at your best when you've been in the presence of the Lord. You want to be the best husband you can be? Be in the presence of God. You want to be the best wife you can be? Answer is the same. You want to be the best employee you can be? You want to be the best mom or dad? Spend time at the foot of the Lord. God will give you what you need to be that great person. As we stand and bow, go to the Lord in prayer. You guys can stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer now. I want you to think about this as we sing the song of invitation. Do you want to be in God's presence today? Because God is here. He is working. I can tell the Holy Spirit is ministering to hearts. If you want to be in God's presence today, why don't you just talk to him? You can come down to the altars and pray. You can stay where you're at and pray. But be serious about really trying to be with God in prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today, God. And I thank you for this message, Lord. There's nothing more that I want, Lord, than to be in your presence today, God. Nothing more that I want. God, I want to feel you work through me. I want you to change and take away the sin in my life, God. I want you to make me be a man that you would be proud to have as your child. Lord, I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good father. I want to be a great preacher. I want to be a great minister, God. I want to see people's souls saved. Lord, I want you to break down walls right now as we're saying this prayer. There may be some people here that are like, yeah, I want to be in your presence, but I'm too nervous. I don't want to come to some altars. I'm scared. Somebody might come up there with me. Hey, if you want me, tug on me and I'll come pray with you. If you don't, I'm going to leave you alone. I want you to be in God's presence. You see, I can't give you anything. I can't do anything. I'm just a person like you. All I can do is show you the map. And the map is putting God first. Stop just making him your savior and make him your Lord. That's where the life changing comes in. If you want to come and pray for any reason, come and pray. God wants to hear your burdens. He wants to hear your cares. He wants to hear your thoughts. He wants to heal your hearts. He wants to work and move in your life today. You may have came in this church one way, but you can leave a new person. God can do that for you. He loves you today. For it's in your name I pray, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.